Well, when medical students become doctors, they take a famous pledge known as the Hippocratic Oath, which is about the duty of care to patients. But this weekend in Chicago, the World Medical Association is poised to make a change to that, altering it to make sure a doctor's own health is treated on par with that of their patients. Queenstown doctor and entrepreneur Sam Hazeldine is one of the forces behind this landmark move, and he is with me from Chicago. And Sam, good evening.
Good evening. Good to be here.
What is the rationale for changing the Hippocratic Oath?
Look, the fact of the matter is that for a long, long time as doctors, we've just been operating under an outdated idea that we have to sacrifice ourselves for our patients. And you know, it comes from the right place. You know, in medicine, we put our patients first. But the mistaken idea is that, therefore, I don't matter. Therefore, my health and well-being doesn't matter. And, you know, my research is absolutely conclusive is that that's harming our patients. You know, the stress and the burnout that doctors are experiencing. And when we look at burnout, we're talking, you know, 25 to 50% of doctors at any one point of time. In terms of being overstressed, we're more like 80 to 90% of doctors. That leads to depersonalization, which is a disconnection from our patients. And that causes increases in major medical errors. So we've been operating under this idea of, you know, that we need to be martyrs for our patients. But actually, it's now very clear that that's actually harming the patients. Now, as soon as the profession, you know, becomes aware of this, once we realize that it's patients being harmed, that's essentially the motivation to change. Now, the Declaration of Geneva, which is the modern-day Hippocratic Oath, has a lot of stuff about the patient in terms of putting the patient first and taking care of the patient and honouring the secrets confided in us and things like that. But it had nothing around the health and well-being of the doctor. And so my vision with changing this was if we can change the modern-day Hippocratic Oath to include the health and well-being of doctors, then we change the value set. We give doctors permission. We give young doctors permission to say, I'm not coming into a profession that means I'm sacrificing everything for it. That in fact, I need to look after myself so that I can be a great doctor. We also hopefully provide the catalyst for changes in organizations and in the health system to create conditions where the doctors can thrive because it's absolutely conclusive. That is what helps. That's one of the most important things to drive good patient outcomes.
Sam, I get where you're coming from on this, but how critical? I mean, doctors get stressed and they get burnt out. They have always done this, haven't they? But how critical is this? Do you need a clause? I mean, doctors of all people should know that they have to look after their own health.
Yeah, but how many? You know, how many sort of these people who are in service of others? People know what they need to do, but they don't actually necessarily do it. I think what this does is says that at the highest level, this is important. And I think that, you know, as I said before, I think the missing piece was doctors not realizing that this approach is harming and killing patients. And once we realize this, we then have an obligation to do something about it.
And where does this culture of stress come from then? It starts at medical school, does it? It starts at medical student level?
Absolutely. I think it starts, medicine is one of the hardest courses to get into. So, you work really hard to get into it. Then once you get in there, you're surrounded by, high-achieving people. And it's, quite a competitive type environment. And then the thing about medicine is that it's a very prescribed course in terms of you graduate medical school, you become an intern, then you become a senior house officer, then you get on a training program, become a junior reg, a senior reg, a consultant. This is a sort of a 16-year course. But it's very clear, it's very easy to be able to mark where you're at in that course. Mm. So it's very easy to compare yourself to your people who are in your classmate. You're either ahead or behind them. And that creates this kind of ladder, this scrambling to win a race that is not even a race at all. So I think that's part of it, that we start like that. But then we come into a culture of this, the patient comes first, therefore you don't matter. And while that's not explicitly said, it is explicitly said at times, but it's very implicit in the profession. So you've got this high-achieving group who want to succeed, who feel like they're in this race, and then they get in this culture that is essentially saying, you know, the patient comes first, therefore you shouldn't really worry about that. You know, you, this is how I did it, therefore this is how you should do it. And the problem is it's just not working.
Right, a couple of quick things. So you left the medical profession, essentially, didn't you, to focus on your medical recruitment business. Was that because you were burnt out? You were burnt out?
No, it wasn't. It was just because I realised that for me, my place in the profession was a different one. I liked being a doctor, but I didn't absolutely love it. And I really think you've got to do what you love in life. And so I saw that, you know, 25% of my classmates leaving the profession within 3 years of graduation. And I just thought, you know, this is the start of this kind of whole work. Is I just thought the profession hadn't evolved to cater to a younger generation of doctors. So I set up MedRecruit to help them create lifestyles in medicine, because I thought, you know, if you can just have a bit of fun, if you can get out of the race, if you can do a bit of locoming, travel, live at the beach, whatever, you'll figure out what it is you want to do. And then when you're ready, you can come back into the profession with that little extra level of maturity. You've had that breathing space. Figure out what it is you want to do. Get out of the race and then have your impact in medicine. And for me, that, you know, that's always been about helping doctors live exceptional lives. And I realised that, you know, just through careers is not enough. So that's, you know, when I set up Med Capital to help doctors with financial matters, and we set up Med World to essentially research, lobby, create solutions, and just help doctors celebrate, you know, remember what a great profession it is, and a great profession it is to be a part of, which so many doctors forget on a day-to-day basis.
And finally, you expect this change to be ratified?
100%. It's I'm 100% confident the change will be ratified. My hope is that it's a unanimous vote. I really feel like we now have, you know, with this and some other additions to the declaration, we have a document that is worthy of the profession. It's worthy of the profession in the 21st century, and I think it deserves to be unanimous support. I think that sends a statement that, you know, that this really matters, and that we, as a profession, we're ready to evolve.
Thank you, Sam. That is Dr. Sam Hazeldine from Chicago. News Talk ZB, it's 4:18.